From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, being thankful in trying times. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. On this special Thanksgiving weekend edition of Washington Watch, we're going to spend some time being thankful. And to do that, we're going to be sharing part of our Thanksgiving Day episode of Washington Watch Live. Here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins as he introduces our first guest.
Well, the Apostle Paul wrote quite a bit about Thanksgiving. He wrote to the church in Ephesus as well, instructing them to always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul understood the importance of gratitude, knowing that everything we have is a gift from the Lord. The heritage of our country reflects this. As we know from the example set by the Pilgrims, despite facing dark times and significant struggles, the Pilgrims expressed gratitude to the Lord as a central part of their lives. Joining me now to discuss the first Thanksgiving and the benefits of gratitude in our daily lives is Dr. Keenan Cureton. He's Vice President of Christian Resources here at the Family Research Council. Keenan, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, great to be with you again.
All right, so you're a student of history, and I think if my calculations are correct, what are we, 401 years away from the original Thanksgiving? In fact, on the 400th anniversary, prior to that, I actually had a Thanksgiving meal, not on the exact day, but in the exact location, as best as history can tell us, at Lot 1 there in Plymouth. The history of this, we kind of lose it, but we've lost it, in our teaching. They came through a very difficult time where most would be lamenting and maybe complaining, but they were giving Thanksgiving. Tell us about it.
Absolutely. You know, as you mentioned at the top of the show, you're talking about, you know, Bible-centric living. These people were living according to the Word of God, and that's what led them to separate from the Church of England, and that got them in a world of trouble because they didn't want to submit to the king and his, you know, divine right to control the church and appoint, you know, ministers and that kind of thing. They thought that they should have the ability to appoint their own leadership, which then, of course, comes to America and brings us representative leadership, right? But they were surveilled. They were jailed. They were harassed for their faith. And, you know, because of that, they had to meet in secret. And ultimately, they ended up in Holland, where they were for about 11 years. And even in Holland, the King of England's reach, King James's reach, was into Holland and convinced the Dutch, where they were cranking out, they had their own printing press, cranking out, you know, all kinds of tracts on religious liberty, condemning the whole divine right of kings thing and the control of the church. But as a favor of the British government, the Dutch ultimately confiscated their typeset tools so they couldn't print their beliefs. So a lot of what happened to them, we're seeing today with Christians being canceled, right? Looked at as maybe not the best of citizens. And certainly that was true for the Pilgrims. And then when they got on that, finally were able to get on the Mayflower, had to ditch the Speedwell because it didn't speed very well. It leaked, and they all had to cram on there. One of the sailors noticed that while they were going in the storm-tossed sea, they called them a bunch of puke, psalm singing puke stockings because they were they were singing psalms to the Lord in the stormy seas, and they were throwing up into their stockings, but they were still singing psalms of praise to God, even in that 66-day journey across to America that was just miserable, you know, because they had to stay below the deck the whole time, and yet they were still grateful.
Yeah.
And then when they get here, you know, they get here in the fall of 1620, on November 11, they signed the Mayflower Compact, which has that provision for self-government or choosing government leaders in it that they got from their own church government. But once they got off the ship, they thanked God for being on land, and then they started trying to build. About Christmas Day was when they started trying to build the very first building. And obviously, you know, exposed to the elements, they got colds. The colds led to pneumonia, and the pneumonia led to death. Half of them died that first winter. By the time they came out of the winter in the spring of 1621, half their number was left. And yet they were still grateful to God that they had survived. And not one of them got back on the ship that went back to England.
Right.
And of course, yeah.
What does that tell us, you know, practically about the power of gratitude? I mean, obviously, we're instructed to be thankful, but I think, is God onto something here when it comes to the instruction of Scripture in terms of overcoming difficulties and challenges?
Yes, your outlook determines your outlook. And I think they were able to handle the adverse conditions and circumstances that they went through, which, you know, most modern Americans have no concept. The way that they were able to handle all that and go through these circumstances, because they had a perspective that they were, one, here on a mission from God. They came in the name of God, for the glory of God, and for the advancement of the Christian faith. They came on a mission, right? But they also came knowing that their God was there to take care of them, that they had him to go to. And that perspective of knowing that God providentially cares for his people, that enabled them to get through those circumstances that were so tough.
So is, you know, I mean, the pilgrims, the forefathers, I mean, they really kind of got the whole thing rolling here. Is that a part of the DNA of America in terms of our staying power, that still it's there? It's been diluted over the generations, over the centuries. But is that really a part of what makes America a little bit different?
I believe so. They were a hardy bunch. They knew coming in that they were going to suffer. They even stated that. Bradford records how they knew that they were going to suffer. In fact, he said, you know what? Even if we're like stepping stones, you know, we may never make it. We may never survive. But even if we're like stepping stones for others to come behind us and do what we were hoping to do, it's enough.
But see, that's kind of an eternal perspective, is
yes.
That they, and he wrote about that in the Plymouth Plantation, that they saw themselves as nothing more than, if nothing more than to being stepping stones for the gospel to go forth. They realized they may not accomplish the vision, but others would come behind them and they would propel them forward just by their faithfulness. And I think that's something that's been lost in our culture and our times, that we tend not to look to future generations in terms of really self-sacrifice, so that the mission, which for them, and should be for us too as believers, is the advancement of the kingdom of God.
That's it. Here's the quote. I mean, it's classic. They had a great hope and inward zeal that they had of laying some good foundation, or at least make some way there into, for the propagating and advancing of the gospel of the kingdom of Christ in those remote parts of the world. Yea, though they should be even as stepping stones unto others for performing so great a work. You think about this. They came over here. They had a heart to share the gospel. And, you know, the very first Bible that was translated on American soil was translated into Algonquin by John Eliot, who came a little bit later. But they had a heart to share the gospel, and that heart to share the gospel is part of the DNA of America, because most of the missionaries and most of the money for missions comes from this country. And I think they laid the foundation for that great missionary effort that has come out of America.
Keenan, just got about a minute left, but when you look at the circumstances that the pilgrims faced, and you know, like, I know we've got challenges, but they pale in comparison to the challenges that they had. But what are the takeaways for us in terms of gratitude and thanksgiving?
You know, we don't experience anything like the hardship that those people did. but their faith still inspires. You know, I think when they, you know, when they landed, I love what Bradford wrote. He said, being thus arrived in a good harbor and brought safe to land, they fell on their knees and blessed the God of heaven who'd brought them through the vast and furious ocean and delivered them from all the perils and miseries thereof to set their feet on firm and stable ground. What could now sustain them but the Spirit of God and His grace? We need to recover that, I think, in America, and especially as Christians, as believers.
Yeah, I think it gives us the staying power. It keeps us focused on the One who created us and made us. And when we walk in obedience to Him, because He's told us to be grateful, I think there's a power and a peace that He promises that follows. Dr. Keenan Cureton, always great to see you, and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Don't hit the pumpkin pie too hard, okay?
All right.
Yeah. Well, coming up next, we're going to continue our look at Thanksgiving. Dr. Erwin Lutzer joins us as we dig a little deeper into the spiritual implications of Thanksgiving and gratitude. There's a reason. It's in the Word of God. Are we really living thankful lives? And what if we were? We're going to talk about that next. Don't go away. More Thanksgiving Day Washington Watch coming up.
Throughout Scripture, there is a warning to believers that they will be persecuted. It isn't a question of if, but when. Which is why Pastor Andrew Brunson, a man familiar with persecution for his faith, led the 8-part video series, Prepare to Stand. This series shares some of the lessons Brunson learned on staying faithful during his imprisonment, and was created to help Christ followers prepare for hostility and persecution. Watch this important series by going to frc.org/prepare to stand.
Welcome back to this Thanksgiving Day edition of Washington Watch. I am thankful that you've tuned in. So good to have you with us. You know, people are asking, a lot of people ask, you know, I wonder what God's will is for my life. I did a search on that one time. I just started reading through the New Testament, you know, where it says, this is the will of God. And I think it only appears like 5 times. In over half of those, it says, the will of God is for you to be thankful. It's for you to be grateful. And that's not just in good times. It's in difficult times. In fact, we talked about this at the beginning of the program in Philippians. You can tell from the context, it's not being grateful on the other side of difficulty, but right in the midst of that difficulty. And so when you consider where we are as a country and where we are as a culture, should we be thankful? Well, I think the answer from Scripture is absolutely yes, but I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to take someone who's been teaching on this for quite some time, and not only teaching on Scripture from a standpoint of God's desire for us and His will for us to be thankful, but doing so in the context of knowing that we live in difficult times. He's not one of those pastors that ignores what's going on around us and just says, smile and everything's going to be all right. He says, let's face the difficulties with a heart of gratitude. Dr. Erwin Lutzer, he's the pastor emeritus and former senior pastor of Moody Church in Chicago, where he pastored for 36 years. Dr. Lutzer, welcome back to Washington Watch.
I'm so glad to be with you, Tony, and I want to just say a few comments in regard to your intro. When it comes to the will of God, so many people are saying, what is God's will? If I only knew what it was, I would do it. Well, here's God's will, and you don't have to take it from me. You take it from the Apostle Paul, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks. In every circumstance, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. Now, in context, the Apostle Paul, of course, knows about difficulties even as we do. But one other thing that's very important for the people who are listening, I've discovered this, that when I obey God in things that are revealed in Scripture to give thanks, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, Paul says, God guides us in those matters that are unrevealed. But the real reason that we ought to give thanks is we acknowledge God's sovereignty, we have to remember that God does rule. And you know, Tony, in the midst of all of the controversies and all the back and forth and all the shouting and everything that we've been through in the last couple of weeks, and we could say the last couple of years, it's wonderful to know that God rules. The Bible says in the book of Daniel that it is God who sets up kings, God brings them down. Everything ultimately is by his permission, if not direct control. So we have a great deal of things to give thanks for. And I hope that we can explore that a little bit more because, in my opinion, thanksgiving changes our perspective. It really does change everything.
You know, when you lay out the word of God where he said, this is the will of God, it doesn't get any plainer than that. I mean, it's quite clear. And I think you're absolutely right. Until we exhaust the revealed will of God in his word, he's not going to give us anything extra. If we're just going to ignore what he's saying out there and say, I don't like that one, I want something else, I think it's going to be crickets.
You know, I'm just thinking as you're talking, Romans chapter 12, too, to present yourselves to God a living sacrifice to prove what is good and acceptable, to prove the will of God, which is good and acceptable. So if somebody out there today says, I don't know what God's will is, go to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and you'll soon discover what God's will is. When we give thanks in our circumstances, and we don't have to give thanks for evil, but even in the midst of evil, we have much to thank God for because we believe that he is using it for his glory. I want us to think about that text of scripture, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Why is it so transforming? It's transforming because when you begin to thank God, it is an indication that you are reminded of God's sovereignty. God does rule. Even Nebuchadnezzar knew that. After he was out with the animals, his understanding returned to him, and he blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever and ever, whose dominion is from one kingdom to another, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and amongst the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? So thanksgiving reminds us of the sovereignty of God. But you know, Tony, it also reminds us of the wisdom of God. God is not only powerful, but God is also wise, and we need to be able to see him in circumstances, in what we are going through. And as an expression of our faith, we give thanks to him.
You know, in the passage that I referenced earlier in Philippians chapter 4, I mean, that gratitude expressed toward God, which is a recognition of his sovereignty, which I think leads to the peace of God, which passes all understanding, is that when we realize, you know, I may not understand all of this, but there is someone who does, and I'm simply following him.
You know, I know that there was a couple who had gone shopping and their van was full of goods after a day of shopping. And yet what happened is someone broke into their van, stole a lot of stuff. But they had just come from a revival meeting, reminding themselves that everything ultimately is under God's control. And the first thing they did was to give thanks. And we don't necessarily have to give thanks for the evil per se, but we give thanks to God for his mercies. After all, things could have been far worse.
Right.
I mean, they could have been there when it happened. They could have been injured. Who knows what happens? Well, Tony, you know what it's like here in the city of Chicago. So it reminds us of the fact that once we do that, their hearts were at peace. They were able to call the authorities. They put their life together. It wasn't the greatest tragedy in the world,
right,
considering what other people are going through.
But,
in everything, give thanks.
It also oftentimes opens up doors of opportunity. We're going to have to leave it there. We're going to come back on the other side of the break with Dr. Erwin Lutzer. Don't go away.
Today, finding a trustworthy news source is harder than ever. That is why Family Research Council created the Washington Stand, an online daily news outlet that provides news and commentary on the most crucial issues of the day, all written from a biblical worldview. Find reliable reporting at WashingtonStand.com so that you know how to stand firm in the midst of the challenges of our day. Again, stay informed by visiting WashingtonStand.com.
Welcome back to this Thanksgiving Day edition of Washington Watch. Hope you're enjoying your day with family and friends. I tell you, Thanksgiving is one of my favorite because you just sit around, you talk, you eat, and you just have a great time. I'm grateful for Thanksgiving. Well, we're talking about the spiritual significance of Thanksgiving and what it does for our lives as we follow the instructions of the Lord. And I'm having this conversation with Dr. Erwin Lutzer. He is the pastor emeritus of Moody Church in Chicago, where he pastored as a senior pastor for 36 years. Dr. Lutzer, thanks for sticking around. As we were running up to that break, I was just saying that I've learned this, and I had to experience this actually about 6 years ago when we had these historic floods in Louisiana and our home flooded. I was pastoring a church at the time in addition to being here at the Family Research Council. And I had to come to a point where I actually thanked God that our home flooded. That was not easy. It was difficult. We loved our home. We loved where everything. We had no insurance for it. But it opened up tremendous doors of opportunity to minister. And over the course of the next 6 months, we saw literally over 100 people in our church that came to our church baptized, accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we looked at it from a standpoint of opportunity. And I think even in the midst of these challenging times that we live in, if we're not focused inwardly, but rather we're giving gratitude to God, He helps us see what's happening outward around us.
Not only that, but Tony, let's just be honest and say most of us are complainers. And when you look at what is happening here in America, we could all argue that we've got lots to complain about. Of course, in comparison to other countries, we have really very little to complain about. Anybody who doesn't love America just has to go to Africa or India, and they'll come back with better understanding. But that being said, there's a passage of scripture in the book of Exodus that I've often thought about that is very convicting. When the children of Israel were in the desert and they were being fed manna in the morning, manna for lunch, manna for dinner, and then, hey, you want a good night snack? Here's more manna. When they complained, and we might understand why they complained, we probably would have too, God says an amazing thing to Moses. He said, they are not complaining about you. They are complaining about me because I'm the one that is feeding them. And their real argument is not with their circumstances. Their real argument is with me. So I want everyone who is listening today to say it is so important for us to recognize that when we give thanks, it is our admission that everything that we have comes from God, and we can accept that which is negative as well as that which is positive because we see Him as God over all. I don't know about you, Tony, but at Thanksgiving in the Lutzer home, when we sit around the table, everybody knows this in advance, we go around and we share some things for which we give thanks. And it's often a wonderful opportunity to connect. It's an opportunity to remind us that as a family, and we're fortunate that we have a family that is together, it's a reminder of the fact that God is indeed good to us. Mm-hmm. Now, Tony, I'm sure I'm a little older than you. You know, I always say that the good thing about old age is it doesn't last very long. I'm a little bit older than you are, and as I look back over my life, there are more and more things for which I give thanks. even things which at the time didn't seem to be a blessing,
yeah,
they've turned out that way because of the way in which God used them. So to everyone out there, remember we used to sing in church, count your blessings, count them one by one. And if you were to do that this Thanksgiving, it would be a very blessed Thanksgiving, even though things are falling apart around you.
Yeah, I think that's so true. When we count our blessings even before we see them, trusting that God is going to make them into blessings. I want to go back quickly to something you said about complaining. You know, how do we like being around people who complain? I don't. I don't like complainers.
No, but at the same time, Tony, haven't you and I sometimes been complainers?
We have, but
at least I have.
We don't like it. I wonder how God looks upon it. He obviously doesn't like it either. And
well, you know, he told the Israelites, you're sinning.
Yeah.
Because they were complaining about the food. And there are people today who aren't going to have a lot of food. And there are some in the world who won't have any food. And that's why it is we have so much to give thanks to God for. And even if the turkey doesn't taste as good as you think it should, we as believers give thanks. God is in control, and we're reminded of that. You know, I heard about Matthew Henry. I'll see if I can remember this story, but he was robbed. His wallet was taken. That night, he gave thanks to God for a number of things. Number one, he said, it's the first time I was robbed. Number two, the second thing is they only took my wallet. They didn't take my life. Third, even though they took my wallet and everything that I had, it wasn't much. And then he said this, most importantly, I thank God that I am the one who was robbed and I was not the robber.
Yes, how true. Well, that's a great point to leave it on. And Dr. Erwin Lutzer, always great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us. And I do hope you have a great, great Thanksgiving.
And thanks for all that you are doing, Tony, and your organization. God bless. Thank you.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.